Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava, text number 33 onwards. Prithivi vayur akasham. Aho nish chandrama ravi.
Aho nish chandrama ravi.
Kapoto jagara sindhu.
Kapoto jagara sindhu.
Patango matu krit gaja.
Patango matu krit gaja.
Prithivi,
Prithivi,
the earth,
the earth.
Vayu,
Vayu,
the air, Akasham,
Akasham,
the sky,
the sky.
Apa,
Apa,
the water,
the water.
Agni,
Agni,
the fire,
the fire.
Chandrama,
Chandrama,
the moon,
the moon.
Ravi,
Ravi,
the sun,
the sun.
Kapota,
Kapota,
the pigeon,
the pigeon.
Ajagara,
Ajagara,
the python,
the python.
Sindhu,
Sindhu,
the sea,
the sea.
Patanga,
Patanga,
the moth,
the moth.
Madhu Krit,
Madhu Krit,
the honey bee,
the honey bee.
Gaja,
Gaja,
the elephant,
the elephant.
Translation and purports by the following of Srila Prabhupada. O King, I have taken shelter of 24 gurus, who are the following: the earth, air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun, pigeon, and python, the sea, moth, honeybee, elephant, and honey thief, the deer, the fish, the prostitute, pingala, the kurara bird, and the child, and the young girl, arrow maker, serpent, spider, and wasp. My dear King, studying their activities, I've learned the science of the self. Just turn the volume up. Translation responsibly. O King.
O King.
I've taken shelter of 24 gurus.
I've taken shelter of 24 gurus.
Who are the following?
Who are the following?
The earth, air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun.
The earth, air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun.
Pigeon and python.
Pigeon and python.
The sea, moth, honey bee, elephant, and honey thief.
The sea, moth, honey bee, elephant, and honey thief.
The deer, the fish, the prostitute, pingala.
The deer, the fish, the prostitute, pingala.
The kurara bird and the child. And the young girl, arrow maker, serpent, spider, and wasp.
Arrow maker, serpent, spider, and wasp.
My dear King,
my dear King,
by studying their activities,
by studying their activities,
I've learned the science of the self.
I've learned the science of the self.
Purport. The wasp is known as Sapeshakrit because it causes the insect that it kills to take a beautiful form in the next life. Text 36. Please listen, O son of Maharaj Yati, O tiger among men, as I explain to you what I have learned from each of these gurus. Text 37. O so good person, even when harassed by other living beings, A sober person, even when harassed by other living beings, should understand that his aggressors are acting helplessly under the control of God, and thus he should never be distracted from the progress on his own path. This rule I have learned from the earth. The earth is the symbol, purport. The earth is the symbol of tolerance. By deep oil drilling, atomic explosions, pollution, and so on, the earth is constantly harassed by men with commercial interests, and thus a wasteland is created. Sometimes the earth's surface is soaked by the blood of soldiers fighting in savage warfare. Yet despite all these disturbances, the earth continues to provide all the necessities of living beings. In this way, one may learn the art of tolerance by studying the earth. Omagyan timarandasya jnanjana shalakaya chakshurin militamyena tasmaya
Shri Gurave Namaha.
Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yenam Bhutate Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Vedantikam Pancha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhu Yeja Makitam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Hare. So, there are 24 gurus which are being mentioned by the Avadhuta Brahmana. This means that we have many gurus. The word guru, what does it mean?
Heavy.
It means heavy. The word laku means? Laku.
Light.
Like that, light. Guru means?
Heavy.
Because one who is guru, he is heavy with transcendental knowledge. Therefore he is guru. He is qualified to teach because he has so much transcendental knowledge. That is his qualification. So therefore, the guru is one who gives us transcendental knowledge or instruction. So we have many gurus. And this is the nature of spiritual life. Our gurus are plural. Bandeham, Sri Guru, Sri Yuta, Pada Kamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavans Cha. So when we offer obeisances, Mangal Acharan, then we say Sri Gurun. Sri Gurun means plural. It means we have many gurus. This is how we advance in spiritual life. As we were discussing in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Bhaktivaibhava class last night, that Vedic culture is based on respect to one's superiors. That's the basis of Vedic culture. It's one of the underpinnings of one of the most important elements of Vedic culture, that there is respect for one's superiors. And that is why modern civilization is failing, because there are not qualified leaders, meaning the elders in society are not qualified to instruct, and there is not a culture of accepting authority within the world. Actually, it's the opposite way now. It's people do not like to accept authority. That's okay, because all of us feel like that. We don't have to feel that it's just us. No one likes to accept authority. But that is the defect of the modern civilization. And in Vedic culture, it is the opposite. In Vedic culture, it is based upon offering respect to your superiors. This is how everything becomes auspicious. Because the superiors are qualified. They have knowledge, they have divya gyan, they have transcendental knowledge, they can instruct us, they're qualified to instruct us. At this point in time, it's hard to find people who are qualified to instruct us. Therefore, Prabhupada created ISKCON. He said he wanted to create a class of brahmanas. Brahmanas means people who are absorbed in spiritual knowledge and can teach others, give others the guidance, because then you feel you have shelter. Just like last night we had Jaipataka Swami's Vyasa Puja. So I was reflecting during the Vyasa Puja that we are so fortunate within this time that we have this culture, that we have so many superior personalities to take shelter of, who are actually qualified and worthy of taking shelter of. This is Prabhupada's credit. Right? Just like we have this bogus philosophy, which is called Rigvedic philosophy. I think everyone has heard of it. Rigvedic philosophy. Which means that everyone is actually Prabhupada's disciple. But that's actually discrediting Prabhupada. Because to say that Prabhupada was not able to create potent and qualified followers, that discredits him. They say, oh no, we're glorifying Prabhupada because he is the only Acharya and we all should take shelter of him. We're all his disciples. That's the Rigvedic philosophy. But it is bogus because it actually, they think, oh no, we're glorifying Prabhupada, and actually discredits Prabhupada. Because it means that Prabhupada is not qualified to make qualified followers. He was not qualified to make people become qualified to become gurus and saints. Which is not the case, because you see there's so many qualified. The nature of a devotee, we're going to see there's 24 gurus here. So, I don't know, because I think they mentioned, they mentioned the bee. I'm not sure what the analogy is surrounding the bee. I haven't read ahead, but one analogy we have with the bee is that the bee is always looking for honey. The bee is always looking for sweetness, and that is what a Vaishnava is like. A devotee is always looking for the good qualities in others. That's the nature of the devotee. Right? Not that a devotee is like a fly. A fly is always looking for impure things. As soon as there's stool, right, the fly immediately, all the flies come. That's materialistic consciousness. Materialistic consciousness means I want to see others' faults. I want to bring everyone else down. Why do I want to bring everyone else down? Because then it puts me up. Right? That is materialistic consciousness. Whereas the consciousness of a Vaishnava or a devotee is like a honeybee. He likes to see the good qualities in the other devotees. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for the negative things. It's easy to see the negative things. But we have to train ourselves to see the good things. And it should become natural and spontaneous that we look for the good qualities in others. So, this is the nature of the devotee. We are fortunate in this time because Prabhupada has created for us so many superior personalities who can give us shelter. So this is how Vedic culture is, this is what it is based upon. It is based upon giving respect to our superiors and the superiors giving guidance and mercy to those who are below them, to their juniors. And this is how the Vedic culture operates properly. So this is the principle of guru. Guru means one who gives shelter. So guru is plural. There are many gurus. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that there, in the beginning there are two types of gurus. What are the two gurus? Which is spoken of first of all.
Diksha guru. Diksha guru.
Diksha guru, yeah. Yeah, Diksha and Shiksha. But even before we go to Diksha and Shiksha, what are the two classifications?
Chaitanya guru.
Chaitanya. Yeah, Chaitanya guru. And? Yeah, like that. Or then the external guru, like that. So, Chaitya means within the heart. So, the super soul, the Paramatma, he is the guru. And as we become more purified in our consciousness, more advanced as devotees, we take more and more instruction from the super soul. But in our neophyte condition, we should not exclusively take shelter of the super soul. Because if you exclusively take shelter of the super soul, if you don't have an external guru, then what is the problem? The problem is sometimes you may be listening to your mind. You say, no, I'm listening to my guru. No, super soul is telling me. Super soul told me I have to eat the entire 9 o'clock offering. I've been given that instruction within the heart. Actually, it's your mind which is giving you the instruction. Like that. Sometimes in neophyte condition, we may become confused. We think, oh, Krishna is telling me. Sometimes the body becomes adamant. Oh, Krishna wants me to do this. Krishna wants me to do that. How do you know Krishna wants you? How do you know it's not your mind? My spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said one time, he said, I don't trust any one person's judgment, including my own. which means we don't trust one person's judgment. That's not civilized life. Civilized life is not that everything is just based upon one person's judgment. You know, I only have one person I listen to. That's what the entire Rigvedic philosophy is based upon. I only listen to Prabhupada. Only Prabhupada. No one else. Right? That's not civilized life. Right? Or I only listen to me. Right? I only listen to the super soul. Right? That's not civilized life. Right? Civilized life means there are many people who we will take guidance from. I remember the day I got initiated, my spiritual master, I went up to see him before the initiation up in the darshan room upstairs, and he told me the day I got initiated, he said, don't just develop a relationship with me. He said, develop a relationship with many others, because it'll take many people to take you back to Godhead, not just one person. That is the culture of Vedic civilization. That is the culture of Vaishnava Sampradaya, the community of devotees. We take shelter of many devotees. We have many gurus. Okay. So, the principle or the original categorization of gurus, Chaitanya Charitamrita gives, first is the external guru and the internal guru. Okay, so we have the internal guru, that is called Chaitanya Guru. Then we have the external gurus. Now the external gurus, they have different divisions. What are the different divisions of the external guru?
Diksha? What will introduce you to Krishna consciousness?
What introduces you to Krishna consciousness? What is that in Sanskrit?
Pradakshika Guru.
Vatma? Pradakshika Guru. The person who first introduces you to Krishna consciousness is your guru. He brings you to Krishna. Like that. So, we have these different categories of external gurus, external spiritual masters. Right? So, Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Lila, in the first verses describe Guru Tattva. Then Prabhupada explains that we have many Shiksha Gurus, Sri Gurun. Sri Gurun means plural, right? We have different gurus. But amongst the different gurus, Prabhupada explains, you have faith in different individuals, but amongst them, one of them is prominent. He's your prominent Shiksha. Your prominent Shiksha means the person you take the most instruction from, the most guidance from, who you get the most inspiration from, whose lectures you're most enlivened by. Right? And that person becomes your Diksha Guru. You take initiation from that person. Right? Because he is the person who gives you the most inspiration. Therefore, you take initiation from him. So that is our Diksha Guru. Right? Now, it is explained that the most important service that one can render to one's guru is what? What is the most important service that you can render to your spiritual master?
Following instructions.
That's true. What's the most important service that you can render to your guru? What is the most important service? Right? It is to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from his lotus mouth. Guru, Mukha, Padma, Vakya, Chitete, Koriya, Aikya. That one must hear from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. That is the most important service. Right? One must hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from him. I remember one time, I think it was 1990 or 91, then my spiritual master came to Melbourne, and my godbrother, older godbrother, he said to me that we have to get ready as soon as Bhagavatam class is finished, then our Guru Maharaj will come out and breakfast has to be ready as soon as Bhagavatam is finished. So we have to cut up all the fruits and squeeze the fruit juice, squeeze the orange juice. So three of us myself and two of my other godbrothers, then the whole Bhagavatam class we spent cutting up the fruit and squeezing the oranges, getting everything ready for breakfast. So as soon as the guru finishes Bhagavatam class, he doesn't have to waste any time. He can just walk in, sit down, and we can serve prasad. So that's what happened. Alright, we spent the whole Bhagavatam class cutting up fruit and getting everything ready. And then as soon as he finished class, he walked in, sat down, and he was ready to take prasad. So everyone would think, oh, we served the guru very nicely. He'd be very happy. He was very angry. He said, where were you? He said, your main service is to hear Bhagavatam from your guru. He said, where were you? And my senior godbrother, who was more senior to me, he chastised him very heavily. He said, where were you? Why did you come? He said, it takes one person to cut up fruit. Why three of you had to cut up the fruit? You all missed a class. So this is the most important service that we can render to our spiritual master. We have to hear from the guru. So the spiritual master, out of all the gurus, out of all the shiksha gurus, right, then one becomes prominent. That is called our diksha guru, like that. Now, our shiksha gurus, they are many. They are plural. It means we have more than one shiksha guru. But the word guru is actually very... it's a very serious word in one sense. Meaning, you can't just call anyone guru. You can't say, oh, he's my guru, they're my guru, this one's my guru, that one's my guru. Right? Because, according to the etiquette or the culture of having a spiritual master, if the guru gives you an instruction, you must follow it. So sometimes you say, oh, this person's my shiksha guru, 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 and that person's my shiksha guru. But then when one of them gives you an instruction, then you say, oh, I don't know if I want to follow that, or I don't know if that's applicable for me, or that sounds okay, but I think I'll go and ask the other one. Like that. And that's actually not the proper etiquette when you're dealing with your spiritual master. Do not call someone guru unless you're willing to follow them. Then you're your guru. Guru means the disciple, the person who follows, must be 100% surrendered to that person. Right? You can't be 99% surrendered to your spiritual master. 99% is not enough. Just like you can't be 99% surrendered to Krishna. Of course we are. We're not 100% surrendered to Krishna. Right? We're 56 or 78 or 3% or something surrendered to Krishna. We're not surrendered to Krishna totally. But when dealing with your spiritual master, you must be 100% surrendered, which means you must be completely surrendered to his instructions. You can't pick and choose the instructions of the guru. Oh, I like this instruction, I'll follow that. I don't like this instruction, so I won't follow that. Then that means you're not a disciple. Right? Do not call yourself someone's disciple. Do not say, this person is my guru, unless you're willing to follow the instruction. So, the shiksha gurus are many, right? Plural, like that. And the diksha guru is one. And then we have the Vatma Pradakshika guru. Vatma Pradakshika guru means the person who brought me to Krishna consciousness. That person is a special person in our lives. Krishna made the arrangements through that person to bring us to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we see devotees, they come to Krishna consciousness in all sorts of ways. Just like I heard in Russia, there were some devotees, and before they were devotees, they were thieves. So at one time, devotees in Russia, they set up book tables all over Russia. So they worked together, the thieves worked together, so one of the thieves came and he caused some distraction, and the other thief stole the Bhagavad Gita, right, and took it home. But then, they read it. And then they became devotees. So this is the way that one can become a devotee. You can become a devotee in so many different ways. Right? All of us have our story, how we came to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes in Back to Godhead magazine they write those stories, how I came to Krishna consciousness. Very interesting, how everyone came to Krishna consciousness. Who brought us to Krishna consciousness? What was the arrangement? I heard another story that, I don't know if this one's true, but this someone was fishing and they caught up some box, and then they opened the box and there was a bucket of beer inside the box. So you hear all these different stories. I heard another one that one person was in a car in America in Los Angeles, and they were going to commit suicide. They were sitting in the car, and you know, sometimes people, they one way that you can commit suicide is you put a hose to your exhaust pipe and you put the hose back into the car, and then you fall asleep. You know, you take too many pills or something, fall asleep, and then the exhaust from the car, then you die from the exhaust fumes. So he was getting ready to kill himself, and then apparently some devotee was walking around the car park putting little books like Easy Journey to Other Planets, like under everyone's windscreen wiper. You know, walking around just putting them all like that, giving out free books. So apparently this person was sitting in the car just about to kill himself, and then the devotee came up and put the book under the windscreen wiper, and then he thought, oh, who is this stupid Hare Krishna? You know, and he wound the window down, he got the book, and then he looked at the book, and then he thought, oh, you know, might as well read a little bit. So then he read a few verses, and then suddenly became a devotee. So you hear all these different stories of how people became devotees. So the person who gives you Krishna consciousness is called Vatma, Pradakshika, Guru. Now, the Avadhut Brahmana, he is teaching us that we have many gurus within nature. There's a list of 24 gurus. What are some of the gurus which have just been listed?
The serpent.
The serpent, the python, the bee, the snake,
the fish,
the deer, the fire, the earth, the sun, the moon. All these different personalities are gurus. So they're very interesting analogies. So the first guru that we're given is, which one?
Earth.
So the earth is our guru. Now what is the quality of the earth?
Tolerance.
Because the earth is very tolerant. Do you ever hear the earth complain? Sometimes. How does it complain?
Volcanoes.
Natural disasters, yeah. Sometimes when Mother Earth is not happy, then she gives an earthquake, or gives a volcanic eruption, or gives a tsunami, or something like that. Just to remind you that do not abuse the earth. So, the earth is one of our gurus. It says here that a sober person, even when harassed by other living beings, should understand that his aggressors are acting helplessly under the control of God, and he should never be distracted from progress on his own path. This rule I've learned from the earth. So as we try to walk on the path back home, back to Godhead, then we will be met with many different types of obstacles. We're trying to make advancement in spiritual life. We're trying to go back home, back to Godhead, but there are many different types of obstacles. But a devotee has to learn to not become distracted from the path of going back home, back to Godhead. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur says that it is compulsory that we give up our attachment to duality within this material world. What does this mean?
Happiness,
distress, cold, heat,
bitter, sweet, good and bad,
all the different dualities. He says it's compulsory that you give up your attachment to the dualities in this world, because there are so many dualities in this world, right? Happiness and distress. Krishna said in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, what is his first instruction practically? His second instruction. First thing he says is Dehino Smenyata Dehi, you are not the body, you are the soul. Second thing he says is Matra Spasas to Kunpriya Shitoshna Sukadukaha Agama Payuno Nityas Tams Tikshashva Bharata. First thing, second thing he says is that you must learn to tolerate the dualities in this material world. Bhakti Santasarvati Thakur says it is compulsory that we learn to do this. If you want to leave this material world, hands up if you want to leave this material world. Amen. Okay, except for a few of us. Some of us are still like, well, it's not so bad. But those who want to leave, then Bhakti Santasarvati Thakur says, it is compulsory that you give up your attachment to the dualities. What does it mean that we're attached to the dualities? Right? It means we are attached to happiness and distress. Right? When we're happy, right, then okay, I'll practice Krishna consciousness. I'll chant my rounds. Right? I'll practice Krishna consciousness. You know, I'll follow the regulative principles. I'll be a devotee. Right? When I'm happy. Right? But when I'm distressed, then, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this. Don't you understand how good a person I am? And how could you do this to me? And I will not follow the regulative principles, or I will not chant my rounds regularly anymore. Right? This is attachment to duality. You know? Or when things become too happy, when we get too much opportunity for sense gratification, oh, I don't need to chant my rounds. I'm on holiday. I've gone to Fiji for 2 weeks. I don't have to chant my rounds. I'll chant them when I get back. I'm on a holiday. That's attachment. And as long as you're attached to the dualities, to the happiness and the distress in this material world, you cannot transcend. So Bhakti Sarvasarvai Thakur says it is compulsory that we give up our attachment and our attachment to both happiness and distress in this world. Because until you transcend that happiness and distress, then you can't leave the material energy. So this is what we're learning from the earth, that whatever happens, right, no matter whether life serves us up lemons or lemonade, as Madhava Maharaj always says, right, whether it is sour or sweet, whether we have good or bad times, we keep serving Krishna. We are constant in our service to Krishna. That is called nishtha. What does nishtha mean?
Fixed.
Yeah, fixed or steady. A devotee has to be fixed or steady in their devotional service. We have to become fixed and steady. Not that we become always disturbed by what goes on around us externally. You see the example of Srila Prabhupada in his life. Right? Did you see Prabhupada ever become disturbed by what went on around him externally? Right? He was fixed in his service, regardless of whether it was good or bad. You see, in the early days, Prabhupada wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Imagine writing a commentary. Hands up if you've ever written a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Imagine how much work it would take to write all the purports. Prabhupada wrote an entire commentary in the Gita and it got stolen. Imagine how you would feel. Right? You've written an entire commentary, right, and it was stolen. The whole manuscript was stolen. Right? And Prabhupada did not become dejected. He didn't say, well, you know, he didn't give up. He wrote it again. And now we have Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because Prabhupada did not. What if Prabhupada gave up? Prabhupada came to America. And he was staying in New York in 66, and one morning, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, when he was translating, he heard a knock on the door. And I think at that time he was staying, might have been with Mukunda Maharaj, or they arranged him, I think he had a room by himself at that point. I can't remember where it was he was exactly staying, but someone knocked on the door at about 2 in the morning. Prabhupada opened the door, and it was some crazy guy who had been coming around to see him. But at that time, in the morning, he was intoxicated. Right? He was taking some hallucinogenics, and he was completely in an altered state of existence, completely mad, like crazy. So Prabhupada stepped outside the room, outside into the corridor of where he was staying, to speak to him, try to calm him down a little bit. And the guy shut the door. And Prabhupada couldn't get back into the apartment. Right? And he had to wait till like in the morning time for the landowner or whoever it was to come and give him a key so he could get back in. Right? These are the kind of things that go on in the material world, even for a pure devotee. But a pure devotee does not lose their fixation or their determination to continue in their service to Krishna. So that's how we have to become like. We have to become steady like the earth. The earth does not complain. So this should also be the mentality of the devotees. We don't complain. Of course we do complain, because we're not so advanced devotees, but we should not complain. We should learn to become steady and fixed. So then one may say, then how do I become steady and fixed? Because I'm not so steady and fixed. Hands up if you feel like you're steady and fixed. Okay, one devotee, that's good. So how do we do it? How do we become steady and fixed? Not so easy to be steady and fixed. Of course, everyone's been humble. Right? Or pretending to be humble. So we may not be so steady and fixed, but if we want to become steady and fixed, you become steady and fixed by association. You have to associate with those who are more advanced, who are more fixed up, right? Who are resolute in their determination to serve Krishna. Ekeha, Kuru Nandana. Right? Ekeha means one point. Right? Fixed. That's how we develop that qualification. This is the meditation. Just like that story is there in the Mahabharata, that Arjuna was being trained with all the other pandavas and the Kauravas by Dronacharya. So one day Dronacharya wanted to test everyone and see who had learnt their lessons properly. So he got a mechanical bird, an artificial bird, some sort of like fake bird, and they put it up in the tree. So then he said to Yudhishthira, who was the eldest of all the boys who he was training, he said, pick up your bow and arrow. So he picked up his bow and arrow. And he said, aim at the bird. So he aimed at the bird, he had his bow and arrow ready. And he said, what do you see? And he said, I see the bird. He said, what else do you see? He said, I see you, I see my brothers, I see my family. He said, put your bow down. And then he said to Duryodhana, who was the second eldest, he said, now pick up your bow and arrow. So he did the same thing. He said, what do you see? He said, I see the bird. He said, what else? He said, I see the tree. He said, put your bow down. Right? And then he went through 99 brothers. Right? He went through every brother of the Kauravas, all 99 of them. And then he went through the different pandavas, went through Yudhishthira, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadeva. And he went through his own son, Ashwatthama. Right? All of his students were there. Right? But everyone, he said, put the bow down. And then at the end, there was only one student left. Right? Phalgun. Right? His name was Arjuna. So he said, Arjuna, pick up your bow and arrow. So Arjuna picked up his bow and arrow and he aimed it at the bird. He said, what do you see? He said, I see the bird. He said, what else do you see? He said, I see nothing but the bird. He said, what do you see on the bird? He said, I only see the eye of the bird. He said, release your arrow. Right? And the arrow dropped straight into the eye of the bird, and the bird dropped to the ground. Like that. So this is the point. This is ekeha, kuru nandana. We have to become that fixed in our devotional service that we do not waver. Because, like it or not, Maya throws a few tests our way. Hands up if Maya has ever tested you. Hands up if Maya has tested you today. Hands up if Maya has tested you in the last 5 minutes. Hands up if Maya is testing you right now. Right? This is the nature of Maya. She doesn't stop. She doesn't go on holidays. She's waiting for you every day, every minute. Right? Just like in the Bhagavatam, there is the description of the city of 9 gates. Which canto is that in?
Fifth
canto. Right? The city of 9 gates. Who is the person there? Parambara. Yeah, Parambara, like that. So they give the example of the city of 9 gates. So what is the city of 9 gates? Our body. What are our 9 gates? Right? The 2 eyes, the 2 ears, the 2 nostrils, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus. They are the nine gates of the body. So, the body is constantly surrounded. Just like if you have a fortress which has nine gates in it. Now, this is the example they give, the analogy they give. You have a fortress which has, and the fortress is under siege, it is surrounded by soldiers. So it's hard to come in or out of any of those gates because you're surrounded. So that's what it's like. Maya is constantly surrounding us, our fortress of nine gates. She's always around us. As soon as you open your eyes, there's Maya. As soon as you open your ears, there's Maya. Your tongue, right? Your nose, your genitals, your anus, right? Maya. She's constantly there. 24 hours a day, standing guard, and she never takes rest. So, what hope do we have? If that's our enemy, what hope do we have? The only hope you have is if you take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva through the Sankirtan movement of chanting the holy names of Krishna. That is the only way. You have to make you have to get caught up in the flood of love of God. Just like if the Panchatattva are living in your fortress, right, and there's a flood of love of God going on, then what happens when you open the gates? You're in the fortress and there's a flood in there, and then you open the gates, what happens? Right? Everyone outside, the flood just goes out and everything becomes inundated with the flood. So this is how we fight with Maya. Because we can't fight with Maya ourselves. We have to take shelter of Mahaprabhu. And we take shelter of the Panchatattva and the Sankirtan movement, and the flood of the Sankirtan movement, of chanting the holy names of Krishna, that will inundate all of Maya's influence. So if we take shelter of Krishna constantly, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what does that do? Where he speaks about taking shelter of him. Dadihesha gunamai mama maya dharachaya mam eva ye kripachante. What's the next one? Maya etan dharachite. So it means that if we take shelter of Krishna, then it is very difficult to overcome Maya. But if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna says it becomes easy. It becomes like a vatsapad. It becomes like the footprint which is made by the calf. The entire material ocean, or the entire ocean of material existence, which is very difficult to cross, it becomes just like the water in the calf's footprint. And then we can just very easily cross over by the mercy of Krishna. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, sir.
Just one interesting story I heard by Haridas himself, Haridas Prabhu, the Silver Jubilee in Jubilee Temple. So he was telling how he became a devotee. He was a kid, so he was imprisoned. And somehow he got a PTG, Back to God magazine. Back to God magazine, he saw a picture of Prabhupada. And he got a Rolex watch. So she said, okay, well, first thing I will do is to steal this watch once I get out of jail. So he got out of jail and he went to Juhu Temple. And then, so he was in tears, so he had to disguise himself. So devotees asked him to clean pots, so he did it really well. He cleaned pots for a few months, just so that, hoping that he can get Prabhupada's attention. And then, one day he found out Prabhupada was in Hyderabad, so he traveled to Hyderabad just to steal the watch from Prabhupada. And he came. When he came in front of Prabhupada, then he totally changed his heart. He didn't want to steal the watch. And Prabhupada could understand that he wanted the watch, take it.
Good story. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.